Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Morgan Sarah.
Oh, we certainly do talk about songs, and we've got 10 more to talk about today. Welcome to episode 4 of the First Name Basis season of Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs. I am your co-host, Mark Blankenship, and I am joined today by someone whose name will be heard in song in just a bit, Sarah D. Bunting. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Be strong.
Every time is a good time for goodbye.
So Sarah, what are the songs that we'll be discussing today, and what's up with this whole deal that we've got going on?
Oh boy. Well, that's pretty broad, but let's confine it to a couple of notes on scoring. At this point in the First Name Basis season, we are just doing up-down voting to determine which songs in our top 40 proceed to the top 20. So if I pass a song through, it gets 2 points. If Mark passes a song through, it gets 2 points. And if our Patreon supporters, who also have voted on these songs, passed it through, it gets 2 points. If we don't, it gets 0 points. The songs with the most points, the top five, go through to the next round. What songs are we contemplating today? Well, we've got some real heavy hitters, including Rosanna by Toto, which was selected by Mark's husband Andrew as the overall winner of the season. Roxanne by The Police, selected by my husband Dan as the overall winner of the season. Ruby Tuesday by The Rolling Stones. Runaround Sue by Dion. Sarah by Starship. Stacy's Mom by Fountains of Wayne. Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond. Ba ba ba. Valerie by Mark Ronson featuring Amy Winehouse, Veronica by Elvis Costello, and You Can Call Me Al by Paul Simon. And I forgot to note, in my eagerness to Red Sox it up, that Sweet Caroline was selected by me and my co-host, Mark, to win the whole thing. I have some regrets about that choice, but it's part of the permanent record, so I guess we'll just see what happens this round. Oh, God. Shall we get started?
There's Let's a lot just to say. Dive on in. The first song, of course, Rosanna, is one that we also discussed in our Record of the Year season that just recently concluded. But with this criteria, I actually think that it's a much stronger competitor than it was in the previous season. I don't know how you feel about that, Sarah.
I agree. I didn't pull a clip because I felt like it was probably going to go through. Your husband, I think it's not going to be the overall winner, but I mean, he's got a case. I passed it through. I don't love it, like I said, in the previous season, but you cannot argue that the name and the song are holding hands in everyone's consciousness, including that of Ms. Rosanna Arquette, who, like, it's not about her, but she goes along with the fiction that it is, and I just love that for everyone.
I agree.
It's probably not great that I often end up singing it to the tune of Kool and the Gang's Joanna, but, I mean, that still kind of works, I guess. You can scan it a lot of different ways, so yeah, it was a yes for me. What about you?
Oh, it was absolutely a yes for me as well, and for the patrons, I will note. So that's a straight 6 right off the bat for Rosanna. It's got such a memorable melody, the way that they sing the name. And why wouldn't you sing this to a Rosanna is my question. The answer is you would.
Well, I worked with a Rosanna. Because you don't want to get punched in the tits, but other than you absolutely do.
I worked with a Rosanna at a job I had a few years ago, and she was good-natured about the fact that people were going to sing this to her for the rest of her life.
Mm. Fair.
Maybe she was angry on the inside, but I'll never know. So next we have Roxanne.
Yeah.
The Police.
Yeah, we do. And for that reason, we don't have a clip of this either. Is it possible to hear this name or Roseanne or Joanne and not try to sting it up with that delivery? Maybe. It's not possible for me. I passed this through. I didn't even take any notes. I was happy to revisit the song. The vocal really does a lot to iconize this song, but I mean, and people aren't named Roxanne because of the song, and there's a lot of Cyrano, like, sort of chaff flying around with this song. But with that said, I just didn't think that it was that difficult a question. You?
Oh, it was so obviously a yes. And I just really love how much fun Sting seems to be having when he just wails out the name.
Yeah, he almost starts laughing at one point. Yeah. You can sort of hear it. It's really great.
It's like they were saying, just push it further. Go crazier. Yeah. He was like,
or
okay.
That he's like, oh, they're not recording this take. Fuck it. And then the next thing you know,
it's on the radio. The story that I have in my personal life about this song is, in college, I was with a friend. I have to admit, don't remember which friend it was now, but she said, I remember it was a woman, and she said, this is the greatest drinking game of all time. She handed me some sort of wine cooler, and she said, okay, every time he sings Roxanne, I'll drink, and every time he sings Red Light, you drink. And by the end, you're just both constantly drinking, and it's really fun.
Okay. Challenge accepted.
If you're ever looking for something to do, play the Roxanne drinking game. A perfect duet, if you will. I am shocked that Roxanne peaked at a lowly number 32 on the Hot
100. I was about to ask.
Considering that this song has never gone away, I hear it, I feel like, fairly consistently even now. It is featured rather heavily in the movie Moulin Rouge, as well as in the Broadway musical iteration of Moulin Rouge. Roxanne is just always around. Puff Daddy did a version of it in the 90s. A group called the Swedish House Mafia, who had one big hit in America called Don't You Worry, Child, released a song called Red Light that is based on this. Like, it's just always there. So this is a song whose chart position really does not match its cultural impact whatsoever. Not least because, like you said, you cannot meet a Roxanne without being like, yeah.
Exactly. I feel like that's maybe true of the Police generally, that it felt to me in the early 80s like they really were this ubiquitous titan of pop and rock culture. But I think they may have gotten more, like, A, more play on MTV, and B, that I was just maybe listening. I was in a carpool that was more like modern rock, which they would play a lot of. They would play a lot of Police, but like the poppier stations weren't necessarily going there as much, especially prior to the Synchronicity album.
Right.
That I feel like our sense of the Police as dominating this landscape is perhaps not accurate, but like, I know for a fact that people have written academic theses about, like, you know, Roxanne : sex work in pop music. Like, I mean, this is like, it was a no-brainer. Absolutely.
And so that's two straight sixes in a row at the start of this heavyweight laden episode. But I'm going to make a wild prediction that our next song is not going to be making it through, but I don't know for sure. Tell me, Sarah, what do you think about our next tune, which is Ruby Tuesday by the Rolling Stones?
This is one that, because my last name scans to Tuesday, this is one that my late mother would sing, not just about the restaurant chain, but also to, like, you know, family members and pets whose names scanned properly if they were leaving her presence. Goodbye, Sarah Bunting. Nobody else does this. This is absolutely confined to my family. There's not a lot of people named Ruby anymore. I think you need the Tuesday for it to really be iconic. And also, I like the Rolling Stones a lot generally. I have a pretty high tolerance for their early shit. I don't like this song. I don't think it's a good vocal. I have a clip because I have a feeling this will be the last time we need it. So here is Ruby Tuesday and a rather unfortunate selection from Mick Jagger's sound engineer.
We would never say where she came from.
Just ask for another take. You're Mick Jagger.
Yesterday don't matter if it's gone. While the sun is bright, or in the darkest night, no one knows. She comes and goes. Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you when you change?
I mean, I guess anyone could hang a name on you, but for our purposes, it's not a broadly used enough name for it to work. This is very like mid-60s piccolo tootling. I'm just not into it, and if it were more iconic, I would be able to put aside a distaste for the song, but it isn't, so I can't.
I feel neutral about this song, but the very first job I ever had as a teenager was as a host at a Ruby Tuesday. So I used to hear this song a lot because it was, of course, on the CD that they let us play in the restaurant. Every 6 weeks, that CD would get changed and there would be all new songs, except mm-hmm. Ruby Tuesday was on every single CD, of course.
Sure, clearly.
So, and by the way, the new Jason Isbell album, Weather Vanes, which, as we are recording this, has not even been out for a week, is so good.
It's great.
I think it's his best album since Something More Than Free, personally. And in the song Volunteer, he references the mall in Chattanooga where I had worked at the Ruby Tuesday.
Gorgeous.
So I see you, Jason Isbell, talking about Hamilton Place Mall on Gun Barrel Road. And
so that was your anchor restaurant at that mall?
That and across the hall was a restaurant called Mozzarella's American Cafe. So those were the two. And if you went to the other side of the mall, that's where the food court was. But if you wanted to be slightly fancy,
yeah,
you came to the Ruby Tuesday at Mozzarella side. And then somewhere back in there, there was a Piccadilly cafeteria, but you know, that wasn't fancy either. So anyway.
Okay. Well, yeah, the Short Hills Mall. Or excuse me, the Mall at Short Hills, which wants to think it's fancy, but like a two-story Johnny Rockets, you're not better than anybody.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, right after I graduated from high school and went to college, they added a Johnny Rockets to the food court side of that mall. And I was like, damn it, I just missed it.
And that's where you would hear the next song that we're going to talk about constantly, because it was just the best and the worst of the 50s, the 60s, and the other 60. Oh God, it was terrible. Anyway, so anyway, is it a goose egg for old Rubes?
It is, yes. And long story long, for me, Ruby Tuesday is going to always be the name of a restaurant, never the name of a person. There's just no way that I can disassociate it from my own life in that way. So that's a zero across the board for the Rolling Stones. And what do we got next?
We got Run Around Sue by Dion. It's an enduring bop. I actually liked this song a lot better than I remembered liking it, but I don't, like, I might be the cheese that stands alone about this, but I wouldn't sing this to a Sioux. I just wouldn't. I just think it's like, I think it's a little too old. There's really a lot of sex work shaming going on in this round that I don't especially care for. I don't see it quite. I think it's a little too old, and I think that it's not something that people would meet a Sue and be like, she goes out with other guys. Like, are you trying to get kicked in the slats, bro? Because that's what's gonna happen. Anyway, it's a no for me, dog, but it wasn't last. It's just a no. What about you?
Zero across the board. I like this song. I agree with you. It's actually pretty good. And honestly, I had forgotten that Dion was really cute.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Back in the day. Whew. Yeah. Wouldn't kick him out of bed for eating crackers with Sue, if you know what I mean. And I was actually really struck by the fact that there are so many songs about women being anxious about men cheating, but this is a song about a man being anxious about a woman cheating. And I thought, oh, okay. I mean, I hear what you're saying that it's, you know, I don't know that I hear it as a sex work shaming song.
Oh, I don't think it's sex work. I think
slut shaming or whatever.
Slut shaming. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I guess it is because he's basically sending out a clarion call that don't go around with this loose woman. But I guess when I was hearing, listening to it, I thought, well, this is a guy who is worried that his woman is creeping. Anyway, I was intrigued by it, but this song is good.
Your compassion for the narrator who's like that slut, and you're like, well, he's afraid. Like, well, yeah, he should be because he's talking shit, and this is not a good look for Dion. But anyway,
he's in the small, quiet place where we all go when we feel small. But I didn't pass it through either because I would never. I have an Aunt Susie, so obviously I would sing "Wake Up, Little Susie" to her. But mm-hmm. I would never sing "Run Around Sue" to her or any Sue. So no. But yeah. I was actually happy to hear this song, and the whoa part is really enjoyable still.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, do we have a clip for our next selection?
I regret to inform everyone that we do, because I, for reasons that should be obvious, have not listened to Sarah all the way through in probably 35 years since its radio ubiquity, because, you know, I'm getting the meat of it all the time still, but I do seem to recall that, like, the video with Rebecca De Mornay was sort of interesting, but, like, it's not just that people sang it to me all the time. It's that the song, Qua Song, is a piece of shit. So I just thought I would clip the beginning so that we could all marinate in the fact that this song has been a heap of ersatz treacle corn from the jump. Enjoy. You'll never find another girl like me because I ran away and over the side of a cliff to get away from you singing my name. Actually, I would like to note, and I noted this about Starship's Jane, which we talked about in the prequel to the season, that this is actually a pretty good vocal. I think that Mickey, what's his name, doesn't get enough credit as a vocal power in this band, often because the arrangement that he's surrounded by is either sort of putting him in the shade, like it does in Jane, or is complete like diabetic garbage, like it is in Sarah. But you know, it's like my number one. What else can I do with it? So that's how I felt about it. Bad, but also, you know, it's what started this season for me. I obviously have no choice. What did everybody else do?
Well, first I would like to invite longtime listeners to take themselves all the way back to July 20th, 2017, when we released episode 64 of this show, where we talked about Sarah, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now, and We Built This City.
Oh.
Where we talked about all three of these songs. And as I recall, we ended up agreeing that Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now is actually not terrible, and that We Built This City perhaps doesn't deserve its reputation as the worst song ever, but that Sarah is a dump.
It is both cheeks of a butt.
That's right. Now, I will say maybe they were doing this out of respect for you, but I was surprised to see that for this episode, the patrons did not even come close to waving Sarah through.
Huh.
This is actually the only episode of the season where there was a tie. So I'm actually, and I let it through. So there are six songs by the patrons that are going to be getting 2 points.
Okay.
But not this one. However, I absolutely passed it through because I think about you and this song as being forever linked. Not for, and I'm not saying I'm happy about that, but it just, it can't be helped. It can't be helped.
Yeah.
No, so that's 4 points really for Starship. And, you know, apologies to you and all other Sarahs, but if you were alive in the time that we were alive, this is the song because there are so many Sarahs who were in our lives at this point. You couldn't throw a rock without hitting 15 Sarahs or Jennifers. And Sarah was everywhere in terms of the name and this song. So there's no avoiding it as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I do think that because of the ubiquity of the name and that this was a like peak, there's a story about a fucking tornado and there's a name actress who you recognize who, P.S., played a sex worker in Risky Business. So it all comes back around this episode, I guess. But it really was like a sort of whatever the opposite of kismet is. Shizmet. Of the timing. Yeah. And it was also that sort of peak time for bands that had been huge in the 60s and 70s to sort of reimagine themselves for the Casio and cocaine era. And this is, I mean, the blooping and the little ugh, barf. I can't. But I'm going to have to for another week, probably. I guess we'll see. Why don't we move on to our next song, which I did not pass through, but it was close. It's a fucking legit banger to this day. I pulled a clip of Stacey's Mom by Fountains of Wayne, my state mates, because I think this song is not necessarily appreciated quite enough for the emotion that is in it.
Okay.
The emotion is, you know, don't come in here, like, fat, 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 but okay, that can be an emotion. Like, I think that this teenage boy is really struggling with some feelings that have nowhere to go but into a crumpled sweat sock. And I think the vocal really reflects that, but also it's just such a sing-along jam, despite the content. And I didn't pass it through because it's the Jesse's Girl problem, that there's a possessive there, and I don't think it totally works. But we'll see what all the Stacey's and Tracy said. First, let's hear a clip. I mean, this whole album is really good, and I actually disappeared down a re-listen hole while I was prepping this episode because Welcome Interstate Managers is a great one.
We've Isn't talked that about, the album? It has Hackensack on it, right?
I believe so. And Valley Winter Song, which I think we've talked about on the pod before. I mean, it's a great song, but I don't. It's much more about the mom than about Stacey. But I am interested to hear what you and the listeners thought and did with it.
I'm also interested to realize that this is the second song in a row that we discussed in 2017.
Huh.
Episode 72 of this very podcast is about Stacey's Mom. And I will tell you, I have no memory of what we said.
No, me neither.
Like, I did vaguely remember that we had done an episode on this song, which is why I Googled it and found it. But, like, Holy shit. What did we say?
I know we had an episode. Did we also talk about Red Dragon Tattoo?
Yes, and that was one of the very first, that was like early days, I think.
Yeah.
I think we paired Red Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah, we paired it with some other song because we didn't necessarily like Red Dragon Tattoo, but of the show, Mike Dunn, had asked us to talk about it, and we were like, so here's the good news, and then we played something else.
No, I looked it up. In fact, I just looked it up. Episode 72 was Stacy's mom and Red Dragon Tattoo.
Okay.
That's why it doesn't quite... Oh my God, we've been doing this forever.
I know. 2017. So
on September 21st of 2017, we discussed this song in conjunction with Red Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah.
Great. Somewhere in there, we also have talked about Valley Winter Song.
Yes, I think that's right.
The point being, I absolutely agree with you about the semantics of Stacy's mom, but I don't care. And I think that even though singing this to a Stacy is not exactly accurate, because then you'd be like, Stacy's mom, you're like, no, my mom isn't even here. What are you talking about? I'd be like, it doesn't matter. I'm singing this song to you. My aunt has a daughter named Megan, meaning I have a cousin named Megan, and she used to sing, Megan's mom has got it going on.
Oh, I sing it to my friends if their kids' names scan, including my sister-in-law. David's mom has got it going on. She's always like, gross. I'm like, all right, well, yeah, but you're welcome. Well,
this is one of these songs that... tied for fifth, one of the two songs that tied for fifth with the Patriots. So it's barely got in for them, and I also put it in, so it does get 4 points. So we may indeed get to revisit Fountains of Wayne and R.I.P. Adam Schlesinger, who was the primary songwriter for this band. You contributed a lot to the world.
Yeah, you really did.
Okay, now next, Sarah, we have the song that both you and I tipped as a potential winner for this whole enchilada. That's Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond.
As required
so
by
good.
Law.
So good. A song that I heard in the wild as recently as yesterday. As I was walking down the streets of New York City, I heard it blaring out of a bar. So, yep.
Okay.
And it was also performed at this year's Tony Award ceremony, because there is a Neil Diamond musical on Broadway right now, and when the cast performed, of course they sang Sweet Caroline. God help you if your name is Caroline. There's a woman in the town in South Carolina where my husband and I recently bought a home that I met. Her name is Caroline. It was the first thing I thought, and I haven't sung it at her, but you know it must have been sung 1,000 times. How could we say no to passing this on? Answer, we couldn't. Of course I passed it through, and so did the patrons.
And so did I, ironically, given that I picked it to win the whole thing. It was not my number one or even my number two in this section, but it went through no problem. How much of this is going to rely going forward on people being part of Red Sox Nation? Hard to say, but I think you can't untangle it in that from that at this point, nor do you need to. The fact that there is a knee-jerk response with the name Caroline, the name Madeline, like you can't unpack it from itself. So yeah, I think this is still got a really good chance of going all the way.
I mean, it certainly needs to be in the top 20, and it will be. So because it's a straight six once again.
Yeah. I think that we're not going to see our next song again, or hear it again. So I pulled a clip from Valerie by Mark Ronson featuring the late, great Amy Winehouse. I must have heard this song before, and yet I had no memory of it. I think it's an excellent exemplar of what she used to do so well, which was like, it was this retro sound, but it was like she was in your lap singing directly to you. She just had such a gift for getting different eras of pop music to take hands in front of you. It's a shame that we don't have that anymore. We miss her, but this is not even the second Valerie song that I think of when I meet a Valerie. So let's hear a clip and then we can see what everybody else decided to do. You get a good lawyer. I love it. But yeah, no, dead last for me in this section. Maybe in a different quadrant with less competition, but I still don't think so. What'd you decide?
Well, I actually love this song and heard it all the time. And this is just one of those interesting moments where our experiences diverge. Because in 2007, when this song came out as part of an album by Mark Ronson called Version, in which he had artists cover songs, like every song is a cover, this just was everywhere in my little circle of theater nerds. I felt like it was an inescapable song, but I was always happy to hear it because, my God, I love it so much. I will say that the album Version is also fantastic. There is a song called Oh My God, which was originally by the Kaiser Chiefs, covered on this album by Lily Allen, that is so good. There is a song called God Put a Smile Upon Your Face, originally by Coldplay, covered here with the Daptone Horns doing some dope-ass musical accompaniment. Like, it's just really, really worth checking out this album. That being said, for me, it wasn't dead last, but it was sixth place, because I think that if we live, here's what I think. This song reached number two in England, and I think if we were British, we might think of this song more immediately with a Valerie. But it was more like a, are you in the right community to hear this song type song in America? It wasn't a big national hit. It wasn't like Rehab, which was everywhere for everyone.
Right.
So that's why for me it is in sixth place. I think it would be for me disingenuous to insist that this song is the Valerie song of choice for anyone. But I'll tell you what, interestingly enough, the patrons did put it through. So they give it 2 points. That's not going to matter at the end of the day. Their cheese is going to stand alone. But I am glad that you pulled a clip, because any chance to even hear like 35 seconds of that song is a chance I will take.
Yeah, I was glad to interact with it. I like the 68 version of it, which I listened to right after that. Like, I like that better because I feel like it was more her and less him, more like less Ronsonized. But Ronson knows what he's doing, so it's not usually an issue. We're almost done. Here comes our last clip. And it's our second Elvis Costello outing. I'm interested to hear whether this one fares better than Allison. Here is a clip from Veronica by Elvis Costello.
She's very quiet and still, and they call her a name that they never get right, and if they don't know, nobody else will. But she used to have a carefree mind of her own, with the devilish look in her eyes, saying you can call me anything you like. My name is Veronica. Do you suppose that raising hands and eyes of Veronica is gone to hide all the time she laughs at those who share the name and steal her clothes? Veronica.
This is by far my favorite Elvis Costello song. I love the build of it. I love those little like Christmassy chimes in the middle of that clip we just heard. I think of it every time I see Kristen Bell, who played Veronica Mars. It did squeak through for me. I don't think this is going to be a common use case. I don't think it's getting through on anyone else's part. I haven't been keeping track, so I can't say, but I did know Veronica freshman year in college, and we sang it to her constantly, and she loved it. She was so happy that the culture had finally seen her, because she was like the only Veronica outside the comics that she even knew, and then that this song had come out at around the same time, and she was like, oh, thank God. And I was like, well, we'll see how you feel in a year. And she was fine with it. So, you know, not everyone's experience at having these songs sung to them is the same slash negative the way mine is. She did get a better song, though.
Yeah,
this is my number five. I passed it through. What did you and the listeners decide?
I will say that this song is good, and it's also Elvis Costello's highest charting song in the United States. It peaked at number 19 here. But until we started prepping this episode, I had never heard it before. So, again, as I talked about when we got to Allison, I just have a big old empty space in my brain where the Elvis Costello music might go. So I cannot pass through a song that I only heard for the first time.
Yes, that was me with Valerie. So, yep, I get it.
Exactly. Although, again, like you with Valerie, I like this song. Yeah, good. This song is good. It's actually kind of good in the way that Valerie is good. In a, you know, it's like a retro. Anyway, not mad. But I didn't pass it through, and neither did the listeners. And again, this is, as you said, a use case situation, but very telling, I think, that I'm just interested that I have a blind spot for Elvis Costello. There are just always artists that, even though they're very popular, we can't quite find. And that's okay. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, I feel like maybe one of these days we should do a season of those that it's like, they're artists that, generally speaking, like in the broader culture, it seems very unusual that anyone is neutral on them. Like Captain Beefheart, whatever, or Elvis Costello. Like, there are a number of artists like this that I think you and I are both like, more for you. Like, we just don't care that intensely. Like, I feel this way about Taylor Swift.
Right, which is you very much. That's a great point. Very few people, it seems, feel neutrally about her, but you do. So, fine.
Yeah. Neutral to positive. Like, and also, I'm not trying to get killed because of this podcast, but it's like, maybe it would be interesting to sort of, or like Bob Dylan. I don't know if you're like neutral to negative on him.
And no, I feel fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there are certain albums that I like, and they're not the albums that you're quote supposed to like. So that might be an interesting season one day to just be like, you know, the education of Ms. and Mr. Mark and Sarah. all right. So that's a lonely 2 points for Veronica. And then, we are now at our last song, which I think needs only an introduction. I didn't pull a clip because if anyone does not know You Can Call Me Al by Paul Simon, I didn't realize we had such a recently arrived from space slash newborn listenership. This is an all-timer that I think I had not listened to it this deeply in a while. And it just keeps unfolding, and like there's different movements to it. And in my mind, I see Chevy Chase like looming over Paul Simon and like playing a clarinet in the video or whatever the fuck he's doing. I love this song. It's a Hall of Famer, but I associate it more with Betty or with Chevy. I would never sing this to an Al. It would never occur to me. So I didn't pass it through, but it was a delight to sort of contemplate it and think about what, like have an excuse to just listen to it a few times and be like, okay, it's still a no, but I'm glad I spent this time. What about you?
Same. I love this song, and God knows Mr. Paul Simon has been amply represented in our journey through this podcast for a reason, because he is a genius. But yeah, it was also a no for me, dog, because I agree with you that it's mostly a Betty song, but I don't know that I would ever really sing it to a Betty either.
Yeah, maybe a bat-faced girl, but
yeah,
not to
who are
face.
You calling roly-poly, you motherfucker? But listen, I love this
roly-poly song. Roly-poly little cat-faced girl to the cats.
Well, that's cute. No, I like that. That's cute. Mm-hmm. But this was a no for me just because it's like somehow because it's so many names that it's not, it somehow doesn't quite work. I don't know. It just, you know, you think about a song like Roxanne and you're like, that song is about Roxanne. You Can Call Me Al. You're like, this is a great song. That's about Al and Betty and too many people. That said, again, we are in regular disagreement with our patrons right now because they did pass the song through with so that gives it 2 points only for this round. But, you know, still, am I mad ever at this song? No. And in fact, interestingly enough, one of the songs that got through, Sarah, is probably my least favorite song on this whole list. And several of the songs that I genuinely like are not making it through. But that's not what we're here for this time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with that, we have, again, a very clear top five. We have three straight sixes. Those are Rosanna, Roxanne, and Sweet Caroline.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have two songs with 4 points, and those are Sarah and Stacy's Mom.
Wow. Okay. Well, Bearski's mom is gonna end the ep. I'm definitely gonna cut that out because literally nobody needs to hear that shit. I am gratified that this, even though it was difficult in the prep, I'm glad that the math wasn't too challenging in episode 4, although I mean, I don't envy any of us going forward. It's only
getting shall I recap our entire top 20, which is what we will be talking about in the next main competition episode?
Absolutely. Let's hear them.
Okay, here are the 20 songs that have moved on. They are 8675309/Jenny by Tommy Two Tone, Cecilia by Simon and Garfunkel, so Paul Simon still represented.
Mm-hmm.
Come On, Come On Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners, Daniel by Elton John, Gloria by Laura Branigan, Fernando by ABBA, Hey Jude by The Beatles, Jesse's Girl by Rick Springfield, La 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 Lola by The Kinks, Luca by Suzanne Vega, Mandy by Barry Manilow, Mary Mary by Run Why DMC, Mickey by Tony Basil, Basil, whatever I can never decide, My Sharona by The Knack, Oh Sherry by Steve Perry, Rosanna, Roxanne, Sarah, Stacy's Mom, and Sweet Caroline. A very solid top 20. So good.
Oh my God. This is just going to be brutal. Before I remind our listeners about some upcoming minor shifts to the schedule, can you remind them how the scoring is going to work in the next round proper?
Yeah. So going forward, we will be doing what we would around these parts consider a traditional ranking episode, where the top 20 songs will all be ranked on a scale of 20 to 1. So the songs that Sarah and I put in first place will get 20 points. The songs that we put in last place will get 1 point from each of us. We will be asking the patrons who can join us at patreon.com/mastis to vote as well. And then they will, their votes will also determine their ranked top 20, and then we'll combine all those points and we'll actually get a distinct ranking for every song. So it's not just a straight up and down like we've been doing before. We're going into a hardcore rank now. It's harder to move through. The stakes are higher. Everything is bigger. American Gladiators. Oh my God.
We'll be recording it in Texas where everything is bigger. Yes. And then the top 10 will move on from there. But that is not, in fact, what you'll be hearing next week. Because I will be on vacation, celebrating my 10th wedding anniversary with Roxanne Better, Dan Brady, we will be talking about some songs that have multiple names in them in an episode that we recorded first, like before we recorded any of these episodes. So we're still, it's going to sound weird how much we're still struggling with like the concept and the rubrics, but that's because it was the very first thing we recorded. So you're going to get a little peek behind the curtain at our process and at possibly Lou Bega's process. So we'll be talking about a bunch of multi-name songs, and we look forward to hearing from you about those. And everything else that we're doing, we're at Talk Songs on Twitter, provided that still exists as you listen to this. And again, patreon.com/mastass. Our listener community is rad and a key part of these themed seasons. So we would love to have you join us if you haven't already.
It's true. We really do love doing this show with each other, but doing it with our listeners is just makes it even better. And truly, it's such a welcoming, fabulous group of folks. So please join us at patreon.com/mastass. We have a Discord channel where you can chat with people. We have polls like these. We have bonus episodes. We have nothing but a good time. Shut and that's in. Not even a song that we're talking about right now. Anyway, y'all, we will see you real soon.
Like the pine trees lining the winding road, I've got a name, I've got a name. Like the singing bird and the croaking toad, I've got a name, I've got a name.
Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs is hosted by Sarah D. Bunting and Mark Blankenship. That's me. And edited by Sarah D. Bunting.
That's me. This podcast is a proud member of the Bleav Network. Learn more at bleav.com.
And if you want to talk about songs, suggest a season theme, get a pop chart reading or customized playlist, or have a cocktail with us and your fellow listeners, then come on by our Patreon page at patreon.com/mastass, where you'll find polls, happy hours, and tons of extra episodes and content.
We're also at Talk Songs on Twitter, at Mastass Everywhere on Instagram, and mastass.podcast on Facebook. Or just email us, talkaboutsongs@gmail.com. All that contact info will be in our show notes. Scroll down. Hope we'll be talking about songs with you soon.
Thanks for listening.
If it gets me nowhere, I go there proud. Moving me down the highway.
Thank you for listening to Bleav. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Bleav.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.